It's a rite of passage for teenagers.
You wanted to learn how to drive.
But
you had some difficulty with the defendant who was your driving instructor.
His classroom took a detour.
What happened on that trip?
We were going to practice parking. So he takes me to a bank and says, park right here. And then gets out of the car and goes into the bank.
Why did you leave the minor in the car and go into the bank?
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Travis and Katya Williams are suing driving school owner Kevin Cruz for the return of his fee for their son's driving lessons.
Order. All rise.
It's case number 250 on the calendar, the matter of Williams versus Cruz.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated.
You can move over with your folks, okay? Your first name is?
Akeem.
Akeem, you wanted to learn how to drive.
Yeah.
You discussed that with your parents. They found the defendant's driving school from an ad. Where was the ad placed?
Online.
Online. And your parents signed you up for driving school.
Yeah.
You went and took the written part of the test, and as part of the program, you go out to practice. Mm-hmm. According to what I read in the complaint, which was not filled out by you, working probably by your father, you had some difficulty with the defendant who was your driving instructor. You didn't feel comfortable with him, and you didn't complete the course. Your parents want their money back for the course because they say that Mr. Cruz misrepresented the company in the online ad. And the nature of that misrepresentation was that he had qualified drivers, plural, to teach young people or anyone who wanted to learn how to drive. And when, I think it was your mom, who says she called up for an appointment to go out again for you, but asked for another instructor, she was advised that Mr. Cruz was the instructor. Were you the one who made the call?
That was me, Your Honor.
You made the call. You said we'd like to go out again, but we'd like another instructor?
Correct.
And then you have some ridiculous counterclaim that I may give you a second to tell me about, but I'm telling you now it's going to be dismissed. I would like to see the ad that Mr. Cruz posted, which you responded to online. That's how we start.
Okay, yes, Your Honor.
May I have that, please?
Yes, this is a screenshot from his website showing that he has multiple calm, caring, and professional drivers.
Okay. Bird, would you show this to Mr. Cruz and ask him if this is his online advertisement?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that clearly indicates that you have multiple drivers that are attached to your school.
I would disagree with that.
Well, I don't care whether you agree or not. That's what this says. We are driving instructors with an S. We are driving experts with an S. That's okay. Multiple.
Okay.
How many driving instructors do you have?
I have myself. I operate my own driving school.
Okay, you have one. Okay, so that is different from what is in your ad. Now, when did you sign up for the written part of the program? Do you remember?
I think it was in February.
February of 2013?
Yeah.
How many hours did you spend doing the audio visual part of the program?
It was like 10 to 20, I'd say.
Did you have to take a test after that?
Yeah.
Did you pass the test?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you remember when you passed the test?
I don't remember.
Do you remember?
I believe it was February 22nd.
Is that correct, Mr. Cruz?
No, that is incorrect.
What date?
February 13th. That's when he passed his test. His first test he took, he failed. February 22nd.
Listen to me carefully, Mr. Cruz. On what date did he take and pass the test?
March 13th.
And what happened on February 22nd?
That's when he went to the DMV for his first written test, and he failed it.
Did you fail the first test that you took at the DMV?
Yeah, I failed the first test.
And then you passed March 13th?
I think so.
Then you get a learner's permit. Is that what you get?
That's what I get.
And on what date did you schedule your first driving experience on the road?
I don't know.
Do you recall, Mr. Williams?
I don't remember the date that we scheduled it, no.
Do you remember the date he took it?
I believe that was April 17th, 2013.
Is that correct, Mr. Cruz?
That is correct.
Now, Akeem, I would like you to tell me what happened on that trip.
He was rude and...
No, I don't. That's a conclusion.
Okay.
I want you to tell me what you said to him and what he said to you and what happened on that trip.
Okay. When I first got in the car, he didn't say anything. He was doing some paperwork. And then when he finally asked me to sign on the paper, he said, sign next to these blue X's, or maybe they were green. I don't remember. And I asked to confirm these X's, and he looked at me and he said, are you colorblind? And I was like, no, I'm just confirming that it's these X's. And then he asked again, are you colorblind? And I said, I'm not colorblind. And then later on, he said, we were gonna practice parking. So he takes me to a bank and says, park right here. And then he gets out of the car and goes into the bank to do
some banking.
He said,
park here.
He said, park here.
Did you park there?
I parked there.
Was it a parallel park or did you just pull in?
I pulled in.
And he left you in the car?
He left me in the car.
And went into the bank?
Yes.
How long was he in the bank?
I would say around 10 minutes.
What happened when he came out of the bank?
He just came back and told me to start driving.
And?
So I did start driving. And then later on, I noticed he looked at his phone sometimes and it didn't seem like he cared about my driving.
Okay, so you went to the bank and he was looking at his phone mm-hmm. and you felt as if he wasn't really paying attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
Did anything else happen on that trip?
No, we just drove around to practice driving.
Now, who met you at the driving school? Your mother or your father?
I don't know.
Do you remember?
Mr. Cruz came to our home and I was not home. My wife met him.
So you dropped him off at his home?
Yeah.
So you were driving your car?
Yeah.
Your car has dual controls?
Yes.
And that was on April 17th. Now, when did your son have his first conversation with you about his driving experience?
That same day, Your Honor, we asked him about the experience, and he did tell us that he didn't really like Mr. Cruz, did not give us all the details. You know, teenagers don't always share details, but later he gave us additional information as he shared with you today.
When you say later, a day later, that same day?
No, it was really a couple months later after we had decided not to continue with Mr. Cruz.
Why did you decide not to continue with Mr. Cruz?
Primarily,
if your son hadn't shared the information,
right.
Why did you decide not to continue?
Well, all three of us felt uncomfortable with Mr. Cruz, but again, we didn't know the details of the experience that Akeem had the first time, so we did plan to schedule a second lesson. And it was because of the difficulty we had scheduling that lesson that we realized that Mr. Cruz was not...
Tell me about the difficulty. What kind of difficulty did you have? With your son or with Mr. Cruz?
With Mr. Cruz.
Well, so April 17th, you have your first lesson.
Yes.
Most kids want to go out a day later, 2 days later, 3 days later.
Correct.
So what happened?
Well, my wife requested to schedule a second appointment on that same day while Mr. Cruz was there.
And?
And he said that, no, you need to wait a few weeks and call us back.
Did he say why?
That's his policy.
No. Did he say why?
No, I don't remember him saying why. He said, just give me a call.
So did you give him a call?
We called in, one day.
May 3rd, you called.
May
3rd. Who called?
Katya called.
And what happened when you called?
I left him a message asking to return our call so we can schedule next one, and we didn't receive any call back after that.
That was on May 3rd?
Correct.
Did you call him again?
I called or you called?
You called the second time?
Second time, yes.
When?
June 4th.
Did you speak to Mr. Cruz?
No. I left a message to call
back.
Did
not call back?
No.
In the interim, who was practicing driving with your son?
We were, Your Honor.
Is that right?
That's right.
How were you doing?
I was doing well.
After June 4th, what happened?
I called on June 14th, left a message, and Mr. Cruz did return my call that day.
Tell me about the conversation.
Well, it started off okay until Mr. Cruz was not willing to schedule an appointment or not able to within the next couple weeks. My son was going to be leaving the country at the end of June, and I was trying to get something scheduled by then. In fact, we'd been trying for 6 weeks.
Okay, so on June 14th, Mr. Cruz said he couldn't schedule appointments. He didn't have appointments available.
Yes.
For how long?
He didn't have anything available in the next 2 weeks, and then my son was going to be gone for a month. So I said, let's go ahead and schedule something then for August, for when he returns. And Mr. Cruz's response was, no, I don't schedule more than a month in advance. You're going to have to call me back in August.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
There's no question in my mind that he's telling me the truth. And my question to you is, why did you leave the minor in the car and go into the bank?
And later today...
What are you talking about?
Sir, I want you to listen to me carefully.
She made an agreement to pay half for the boat.
I want you to listen to me very carefully.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Travis and Katya Williams say driving school owner Kevin Cruz owes for the return of his fee for their son's driving lessons. Kevin is countersuing for the unpaid balance.
Now, Mr. Cruz, are you denying that you had a conversation on the 14th of June with Mr. Williams that indicated that you could not schedule an appointment within the next 2 weeks?
Correct, yes.
Why not?
As my website states, I'm booked about 2.5 weeks out. But if I could fit him in, I would try.
How much money did they pay you?
$259.
Why did you go into the bank when you were driving him?
I didn't go inside of a bank. I do lessons. We park in a parking lot.
Why did you go in? Oh, there's no question he's telling me the truth that you left him in the car and went into the bank. There's no question in my mind that he's telling me the truth. And my question to you is, why did you leave the minor in the car and go into the bank?
I do many lessons a day. It was time for the bathroom.
Did not really
go into a bank. There's a Starbucks next to a bank. I used the bathroom. That's a normal thing.
Is that what he said to you?
He just told me to wait in the car.
$259. Judgment for the plaintiff. Your counterclaims dismissed. That's all. It's misrepresentation, Mr. Williams. I changed my website. If you're a solo guy, that's what you say. I am a solo driving instructor. Not you have instructors. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
There are multiple complaints against this gentleman, not just from us, but on Yelp. And finally, we got our day in court, and we were successful.
People can hear about this man, how rude he is with the kids, and lots of different complaints.
This young man received 31 hours of a 36-hour program, so there's only 5 hours left. So he received 31 hours for free.
Well, most of that's online. There were only 2 hours that Mr. Cruz spent with my son. And in my opinion, that was 2 hours too many.
He was really not a good driving instructor. I would rate it 2 or 3 out of 5.
I stick to my contract, and I will keep sticking to my contract. I provide a good service for a good price.
The most frustrating thing is that he's going to keep doing business the same way, apparently, and we'll be doing this to other kids.
I hope nobody ever will hire that man for their kids.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Haynes versus Steele Rightwig. Step forward.
Rosada Haynes is suing her former friend, Kenneth Steele Rightwig Jr., for boat costs, rental fees, and mental distress. Kenneth is countersuing for the cost of boat parts, labor, and rental fees.
Is your last name Rightwig?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you get all that junk off the table, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Just put it someplace so I don't have to look at it.
People will never get
that this is not show and tell. It's a court. This is what this case is about. Miss Haynes, you knew Mr. Steele, Brightwig. Do I have to say both names?
Either one, ma'am.
Mr. Steele. It's easier. You knew Mr. Steele. I don't know if you liked him, you didn't like him, wanted to like him better, wanted more than just being a buddy. In any event, the two of you decided foolishly to purchase a sailboat together that you both thought was a really great deal. I think the sailboat was $1,600. Is that what it was? $1,600.
Yes,
each of you were putting in $800, and you were going to use the sailboat and have a wonderful time. He thought about using it more independently than you did. That's what I'm gathering from you. In any event, things sort of didn't work out. Mr. Steele decided he was going to live on the sailboat for a while, because he was doing some work on it, which I assume why you brought that junk to show me, that he was going to do some work on the sailboat so that it would be a fresher sailboat. And at some point, Mr. Steele began to feel that you wanted more from him than just sailing lessons.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He's got a hot temper. He doesn't like me. I like him less. It's my show, so I can throw him out.
Cases, real people, Judge Judy. Rosada Haynes says former friend Kenneth Steele Brightwig Jr. owes for costs associated with a boat they co-own.
Now, you want out of the boat, and you want him to give you the money that you put into the boat. And he says, I'm not giving you back your money. We bought this boat together, and I don't want to sell the boat. And he has a ridiculous counterclaim for the money that he put into the boat for parts, et cetera, et cetera. And he also said that you stopped paying dock fees because the boat had to be docked. It was $250 a month. Is that what they charge?
Yes.
Mr. Steele, I'm going to take care of your counterclaim before I take care of anything else. Where are you currently living?
I have two residences. I have a room in Huntington Beach, and I also have an apartment in Palm Springs. But I do stay on the boat during the week for 3 days a week. According to the marina, I'm allowed to stay there for 3 days a week while I'm going to work. I only work 15 minutes from there.
Great.
And on the weekends?
Great.
Yeah.
So your counterclaim's dismissed. You stay on the boat, sir. You pay the dockage. She is not going to pay the dockage on the boat. That wasn't your original deal with her, that you were going to live on this boat.
That was an amended deal, ma'am.
Listen to me. It wasn't your original deal with her. We're not talking about amended. Amended is different. Amended, she may get her money back. So you're going to live on the boat. You're going to entertain on the boat. I read your answer carefully. You said that what really turned her off was when she came on the boat and she found your girlfriend there with a couple of your girlfriend's sisters, and she was upset at that, and the whole thing became a brouhaha. If you don't want the boat anymore, Mr. Steele, what I'm going to say to you, very careful attention. If the original intention for both of you was not being fulfilled, and you can't afford or don't want to be able to afford a loan to pay for the marina, then I have a solution for you. And the solution is we're going to sell the boat.
What are you talking about? You don't even know what you're talking about.
Now, listen to me, sir. I want you to listen to me carefully.
She made an agreement to pay half for the boat. She made an agreement.
I stood by that agreement. I want you to listen to me.
She stopped paying for everything 9 months ago.
I want you to listen to me very carefully.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Your counterclaim's dismissed.
I know. You already did that.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
She don't even know what she's talking about.
Goodbye.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, let's get to your claim. He's gone, which makes my life so much
Mine
easier.
Too.
Did you give him any money for the boat?
We both pay cash for the boat.
How much money did you give him for the boat?
$800.
Listen to me carefully. My suggestion to Mr. Steele / Brightwig was going to be that if the deal didn't work out, you are not married people. Clearly, you had different expectations, and he doesn't want to pay for the dockage alone. You certainly don't want to pay for him to party on the boat with his girlfriend there. Why don't you sell the boat? You got a great deal on the boat. Each of you take your money out or whatever percentage you can get on the boat. He's actually enjoyed living on the boat for as long as he's lived on the boat for the last 9 months. But he's got a hot temper. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like me. I like him less. It's my show, so I can throw him out. So if he had been polite and listened to this perfectly reasonable solution, which is life is short, sell this thing that is an irritant between the two of you, take your money and go your separate ways, or if he wants to buy you out, he can buy you out if he likes the boat. Or you can buy him out of the boat if you like the boat. But he wanted to hear nothing of it. So I'm awarding you your judgment, because I wouldn't want to be in business with him either. $800, judgment for the plaintiff.
Thank you.
Or is that excuse? You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Neither one of us could afford to purchase the sailboat. It was, I had found the sailboat. And I thought, well, if I went in on it with a friend, I could afford half of a slip and half of the maintenance fees. And so it was supposed to be equal part co-ownership. But he just bullied me off and took over the boat.
In the beginning, he didn't want to live on the boat. He wasn't supposed to be living on the boat anyway.
Moving on the boat, not listening to anything I said. He was like a bad hairdresser. You tell him exactly what you want, and they said, uh-huh, sure, I got you. And then they go ahead and do whatever they want anyway. And that was how every conversation was with him.
There's a policy in the marina for that the boat has to be over 30 feet for him to live on the boat.
Volatile. He would just blow up. He was off the handle. We have irreconcilable differences. I just wanted out. I wanted to sell my half. He wouldn't move out so I could sell my half. He wouldn't. It was just crazy. He's ludicrous.
Basically, he stayed on the boat because he was homeless. He didn't have a place to stay, and he just deflected and lied his way through everything, stalled us about everything, and we wind up having to come to court.
Just watch who you go in on it. Make sure it's a family member at least, not just a friend. I mean, this is a man that we let stay with us, that would go to church with us, that he would sit at our table, he would break bread with us. And this is a man that just turned around and lied to us day after day for months and months and months.